Welcome to the Florida Roundup on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, more sites opened across the state this week to vaccinate Florida residents, but demand remains high. And the vaccine, well, it's still in short supply. 78-year-old Annette Linder lives in Martin County, just north of Palm Beach. Last week, she was determined to get a COVID-19 vaccine appointment anywhere she could.
I have been on the phone from 6 a.m. early in the morning and just dialing everywhere that I could dial, even all the way into Palm Beach County, even Mount Sinai in Miami Beach, even Jackson Memorial in Miami, all the Broward sites. It was just awful not being able to get through.
Now, when a neighbor happened to be at a medical lab in Fort Pierce getting a COVID test, she called Linder because that lab had some vaccines. That's how Linder and her husband were finally able to get their first dose.
Through Wednesday, just over 700,000 people in Florida have received their first dose. About two out of every three are 65 years old and older. That's the priority under Governor Ron DeSantis' executive order. Michelle Fournade was at Mandarin Senior Center in Jacksonville this week waiting with her mom, who was in line to get vaccinated.
It's moving along. I don't see any flaws to it other than the fact that we should let people know to bring a chair. Other than that, if you can stand up, go for it.
But according to the latest data from the State Department of Health, fewer people have been vaccinated this week, Melissa, compared to last week.
That's right. Now, later on in the hour here on the Florida Roundup, we're going to talk about the fallout for Florida Republicans who objected to Electoral College votes that certified Joe Biden as president. And they also voted against this week's impeachment of President Trump after the deadly insurrection at the U.S. Capitol last week. That's later in the hour. But first, we launch the show this Friday with the latest on the vaccination effort. And here's what we want to know, Florida. Are you or maybe a family member waiting, trying to get a vaccination appointment? Are you an essential worker? Wondering when it might be your turn, or maybe you're in another high-risk group. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts about this right now. It's 305-995-1800, or tweet us at Florida Roundup.
State Senator Jeff Brandis is a Republican from Pinellas County and a member of the Select Committee on Pandemic Preparedness and Response. That committee met for the first time in Tallahassee on Thursday. Senator Brandis, welcome to the Florida Roundup.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate your time today. Are you satisfied the state is doing all it can regarding COVID vaccination distribution?
100%. They are pushing out every vaccine that comes in. Unfortunately, you have a limited supply that will rise at the state every week and an almost unlimited demand. And while we're working to get essential workers and healthcare workers vaccinated, and then kind of the broader population in general, especially those over 65, it's going to be probably lumpy until such time as we get a very standard supply. Today it's coming in, 100,000 vaccines, 200,000 vaccines at a time, and when you divide that by 67 counties, you're only getting a few thousand doses in some counties at any one time, and again you have millions of people who want access.
Yeah, some of the less populated rural counties are getting maybe a few hundred doses. The state's most populous county, Miami-Dade County, with more than 2 million people, 20,000 doses. So clearly, demand outstripping supply. The governor's executive order from late last year, prioritizing those 65 and older, when talking with a number of public health officials and hospital managers, caught the system a little bit flat-footed. Was that done in consultation with the distribution partners for the vaccine? Should more preparation have been done before making senior citizens the priority?
Well, I think you have to think about a couple of things. One, we have now two different vaccines, and they're not interchangeable. And so now you have to, not only do you have vaccines coming in, but now you have multiple vaccines that require two doses each. So it kind of adds another level of complexity to the challenge. Not that we're not up for it, but it's going to take another level of thinking to make sure that we're getting the proper vaccine to the proper hospital and making sure we have enough dosage for both not only the first vaccine, but also for people to come back in and get the second vaccine, the booster. So it does add a level of...
Well, I suppose what I'm asking, Senator, was the state system, and there's several different distribution arms, the hospitals, there's a Walgreens and CVS going into long-term care facilities, but the State Department of Health, was it prepared, in your estimation, here looking backward, for this prioritization for all senior citizens in Florida to be able to get the shot? Or shots, as the case may be.
Well, I think they're trying to get the shots out as quickly as they get them in. We're not holding any vaccine at the state level. We're pushing it out as quickly as we get it. The problem that you run into is you don't know how much you're going to receive and when you're going to receive it until a few days or maybe a week out. And so there's not a steady supply of vaccine coming in yet, to the point where they can have regular distribution sites and regular, these things are kind of almost pop-up distributions at this point, just so that they can push out as much vaccine into the public as they possibly can.
Let me ask you about some of the other infrastructure involved here beyond the locations of the distribution sites. There have been crashed websites and unanswered phone calls with state health department efforts at the county level. Some local governments have taken over vaccine sites and communication from the State Department of Health. Was the State Department of Health unprepared for the demand that we've seen?
No, I mean, I think it's hard to imagine the level of demand when essentially you have 22 million people in Florida, everybody wanting the vaccine. And while some people understand that it's for 65 and plus and essential workers, other individuals aren't getting that message, and they're calling to try to get their vaccine, or they have some health risk that they believe qualifies them to receive the vaccine, and so they're calling in as well. And there's just no way to have 10,000 people answering all of the phone calls and providing clear guidance to everyone. We've got to get to the local counties.
What about on the websites, though, Senator? I mean, What about on the websites? We know in Broward County, for instance, it's the State Department of Health that launched the website in Broward County. We've seen it in other places where the website is overwhelmed with traffic, certainly, but to a point of crashing. And we learned this week that the State Emergency Management Director says that the state is going to provide its own vaccine appointment website. What kind of guarantees, as a member of the Pandemic Preparedness Committee, would you like to see from the state that this website is prepared for the anticipated demand from Floridians for the vaccine?
Well, my hope is that they're using a cloud-based service that provides for the increased demand that's put off system. What we've seen historically is that they've used other processes that just can't keep up with demand. Unfortunately, here you have to have a website that is able to take on tens, if potentially hundreds of thousands of hits almost simultaneously as this information comes in.
And is it your understanding that the Pandemic Preparedness Select Committee, on which you sit, has the oversight to get such detail?
We do. We have the ability to get that detail. And that's what we met with the Surgeon General yesterday in our committee. We're going to be constantly working with the governor's office and with our county, our health department at both the state and county levels to make sure we're getting this information. We're talking to the hospitals. We're talking to the doctors. We're talking to the other providers like Publix, CVS, and Walgreens that are ultimately going to have to be part of the picture of getting this released and done at scale.
Is this select committee, do you see it as an investigative body to look into the state's handling of the vaccine specifically, as well as the pandemic in general?
I think we're going to be looking at things across the board, whether it be the failed unemployment website and the process of fixing that program, whether we're looking at the vaccine and distribution, whether we're looking at the governor's executive orders and protocols that have come out from that and things that should be, frankly, adopted in the state law. I think we're going to be looking at things across the board. We really have a very broad jurisdiction.
Do you anticipate using the committee's subpoena power?
I have no doubt that we will use every tool available to us in order to get the information needed.
We're speaking now with State Senator Jeff Brandes, a member of Florida's Select Committee on Pandemic Preparedness and Response, as we talk about the challenges in getting vaccines out to an enormous population around Florida with limited vaccine supply. Here's just one tweet from a listener. Giannina says, my husband and I are both 65 years old and we're frontline workers at an optical shop. We've been trying everywhere for hours and hours, days and days, and not able to get an appointment. What to do every day counts. It's 305-995-1800. Let us know your story about trying to get access to a COVID vaccine. Sarah is one of those Florida residents trying to do just that. She's on the line from Stewart. Hi, Sarah. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
All right, thanks. Go ahead, Sarah. Hope you're well, too.
Oh, I am very well. I would be happy if I didn't have to spend probably up to 4 hours on my chart for Cleveland Clinic checking to see if I have a date for a vaccine. I missed one this morning, which went off the moment I got on, and I've been doing this for days. I am definitely qualified. I'm still out showing and selling real estate. I'm at the end of my 70s and just turned 80, and I find it very frustrating to have to keep chained to my computer to see if I can get one of the lotteries to get a vaccination. And then I'm also concerned about the second shot. So just how much longer do we have to keep doing it this way? I'm really disappointed.
Sarah, thanks. And I know it's got to be so frustrating. You know, Senator Brandes, with Florida's huge senior population, obviously this is a massive challenge for you and the rest of the leadership in Florida trying to work on this. And you and others we've interviewed here on the Florida Roundup have said that ultimately this is on the feds, that they aren't providing enough supply of vaccine, leaving it up to the states to scramble and try to get this medical product out to a desperate population. And so I want to ask you, as this pandemic committee does its work this year in Washington, when we do see a changeover at the federal level and a new president, that president-elect Joe Biden has promised a completely different approach to pandemic response. How do you anticipate working with the Biden administration on these problems throughout 2021 and beyond?
Well, I think we have the same goal, which is to ensure that every single dose of vaccine that we get into the state gets distributed as quickly as possible to the people that need it most. I think there is no daylight between this administration, the next administration's goals, and the state of Florida's goals. Really, it's for the state of Florida, it's really how do we get more access to vaccines so that we can get it out to the population quicker. That's what we're 100% focused in on, and I don't think whether it's this administration or the next, that is going to change.
Senator, some of that is setting expectations, right? And you heard that from Sarah, and I'm sure some other calls that we'll get to here. Quickly, the state health department director in Monroe County in the Keys said this week they were promised a website and phone bank by the state before the end of the day on Thursday. And then today on this Friday, the state health department released a statement saying that the delay in the launch of that online and phone scheduling system was because of what it called an unanticipated lag in the arrival of additional COVID-19 vaccines to Monroe County from the state. The question I have is more about expectations. Should the state be setting these kinds of expectations about having a phone bank ready or a website ready?
Well, I think that the state's using the information that it receives, and it's trying to push out as much information as it receives. And if the vaccine gets delayed or if something else happens, there's going to be these setbacks. I think we all have to understand the incredible demand, the limited supply, and frankly, the lumpy nature by which the vaccines are coming into the state at this point. And while it's not a great answer to say, listen, we all have to recognize the scale of this and set our expectations, I fully expect people to be going onto the county websites to be checking this information and trying to get in line as quickly as possible. But it's going to take time for everybody to get access.
It's 305-995-1800 to join the Florida Roundup. Let us know about your story trying to access a COVID vaccine right now. Eric is in Jacks Beach. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. How's everybody doing?
All right, thanks. Good to hear from you. Go ahead, Eric.
All right, well, this story is not my story per se. It's actually my mother's. Now, she falls just under the 65-year-old deadline at 64, and all year she has been told by her specialist, because of her pulmonary fibrosis and other issues medically, that this is going to kill her if she gets it. And she has been, they've drilled that into her so much that you can imagine after isolation all year long and that kind of fear, it's really hard on her. Now, she's been the one keeping up to date and trying very hard to get the vaccine. We're in Duval County, Florida, Jacksonville, and every day I would hear from her, I'm not the one up to date, so I'd hear it from her that, for instance, this is something that I'd like to ask about, some more information. She was stating that apparently Baptist Medical here in Duval County is not only giving their staff the vaccine first, but they're also authorized and giving it to their families before senior citizens and high-risk patients. And to me, that seems not right.
Not right. Let me, and I can't confirm that, Eric, but I appreciate
it. Right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, Senator Brandis, the governor has made it clear he wants seniors first in line. And, you know, so many folks want their parents or their older relatives, loved ones vaccinated. And here we are right on the edge of it. And the waiting, as the late Tom Petty might say, is the hardest part for so many of these folks. And, you know, and you're now let me ask you, too, Senator, you're saying there just isn't enough product. What about reports that there are doses of vaccine in some medical facilities around the state that haven't been distributed yet? We're hearing that as well. So can you respond to that?
To my knowledge, there is, as soon as we have dosage, we're getting them out.
Okay.
And if there is excess dosage, what they're doing is just trying to do almost an ad hoc process to get those dosages out even that day. So I have heard of situations where you know, they find they have two extra vials and they thought they had, you know, 3,000 doses, but they have 3,120 doses. And so they're creating a very short term, maybe an hour of a process in order to get people vaccinated with whatever dosage they have.
Senator, we have only about 30 seconds left, but I just want to quickly to that idea of supply and demand. What about a residency requirement? The city of Miami is talking about having a city of Miami residency requirement for vaccinations.
I think right now it's we're focused on 65 plus and ensuring that as many individuals who are 65 plus, it's hard to say only
regardless of where they live
or anything of that nature. Right. I don't see a ton of people from New York flying down to Florida just to get the vaccine because it's not available in New York. I think you have to expect snowbirds and others that are high risk that are living here for still months on end while they're not homesteaded here to have access to
Senator, we got to leave it there. The state senator of Florida from Pinellas County, Jeff Brandis. Thank you, Senator.
More of your calls and tweets on the vaccination rollout. Stay with us. This is the Florida Roundup. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. A little bit later on in this program, we'll be talking about the politics of impeachment in Florida, particularly for Florida Republicans. But now we're still talking about the virus and vaccinations. Big demand for vaccinations with little supply in the state of Florida. Mudbone sent us this tweet. I live in Pinellas County and signed up for a vaccine appointment today. Lots of appointment time slots still available, making a lot of folks across the state perhaps a little bit jealous about the access in Pinellas County, Melissa.
That's
305-995-1800 is our phone number. 305-995-1800 or at Florida Roundup.
All right. The leading organization for seniors is calling for transparency and responsiveness in the vaccine rollout. Jeff Johnson is the director of AARP Florida. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Melissa. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you. How do you assess the vaccine rollout in Florida? And what do you think could be done better as we watch this unfold?
Well, to date, it has been really confusing. I think that the move by Governor DeSantis to open up the vaccine to those 65 and over is a smart one, because that's certainly an audience that is susceptible to this disease in a way that others are not. And I also think that the work to try to open up different distribution channels so that people can access the vaccine either through health departments or through mega vaccination sites or through pharmacies, hospitals, all of those are good things. And I also recognize that the lack of supply from up the chain, from the federal government, has been a barrier. But the reality is, this is super confusing. So your listener who just tweeted you about there being lots of appointments in Pinellas County sounds great. I literally just got an email from a member of my team in Pinellas County whose family member just looked for sites and said that all the appointments were gone by like 11:05. And so the experience that people are having is they feel like they're chasing their tail. They feel like this is, to use this medium, it's like one of those radio stations that does call-in contests where you have to be the 95th caller to win.
Yeah.
And you've got people who are desperate for this vaccine in order to allow them to go back and live their lives again, who are feeling like they're having to play this game over and over and over again. And it is incredibly frustrating. And I think it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, it's not like they're calling in to win a prize on the air. You're right about that. This is their life at stake. And so let's talk about the challenges. Many seniors don't have internet access. They might not want to stand in line for hours. Some sites, there aren't restrooms available. As the state grapples with this massive public health emergency, what are some concrete steps AARP is recommending that you think might make it easier for Florida seniors as they wait for their turn and they try to get these appointments?
You know, the main thing that we're asking for is transparency, just clear communication about what people's options are, about what they can expect, about how they access this system. That's what people really need to hear. I've talked with colleagues and AARP members in other states who have not vaccinated nearly as many people as Florida has, but who have had a system in which they are contacted by their local pharmacy or local physician to say, hey, you're on the list, and when it's your time, when we've got the vaccine for you, we're going to give you a call and set up an appointment. And they're happy to wait. I mean, granted, they're just as eager as everybody down here to get vaccinated, but they know that they're being included in the system, and they know what their next steps are, and they know that their next step right now is to wait. And because we don't have that transparency of a process, because it is the case where people are being asked to, you know, all go to a website at one particular moment that you may not know about unless you happen upon it, in order to grab one of those few appointment slots, that is what's feeding the anger and frustration that we're hearing from our members. So transparency, clear communications. I know that yesterday the state said that they're going to be setting up a single registration site, and I think that could be helpful depending on how it's implemented, but something that gives people the peace of mind of knowing that they've been remembered and that they are being included in the system and that their turn is coming is going to go a long way to help us through this time when, again, there's just a huge imbalance between the demand for the vaccine and the supply of what's actually available.
Right. You know, in Jacksonville, where I sit, they switched the process to birthdays. They set up two new sites in Duval County, and they just started inviting seniors to come by birthday month so that they could avoid the whole nightmarish effort of trying to get an online appointment and crashing the websites because so many people were trying at once. And so we will continue to see, I'm sure, tinkering with this process over the coming weeks. Now, let me ask you, in the first segment of this show, we heard State Senator Jeff Brandis, who's working on the pandemic response, sort of downplay the phenomenon we've seen of snowbirds in Florida receiving the vaccine before year-round Florida residents. He said he didn't think that that was really enough of a factor to cause problems for year-round residents. Where does AARP stand on this? Should there be a residency requirement to receive the vaccine before those who just have vacation homes here? Where do you stand?
You know, it's a good question, and it's one that we have, quite honestly, not taken a position on quite yet. And one of the reasons why is we believe that if we fix the distribution problems, if we have enough vaccine here in Florida to disseminate it, then that kind of rivalry over who gets the shots and who's jumping in line, if you will, begins to recede. I think that there's probably folks on both sides of the issue who can make arguments that there's value in either vaccinating those who are here in our community, whether they are permanent residents or they're here as long-term visitors. And there are people who are arguing that with a limited supply of shots, you need to prioritize the folks who are here year-round and full-time taxpayers, all of those things. Our focus right now is, again, get the vaccine ramped up to the point that we have the supply we need and give people really clear guidance about mm-hmm. how they can make sure that they're in line. And we're not really as focused on these other issues right now, though we're certainly hearing from members, again, on both sides about this, and we are following
it. Yeah, and speaking of clear guidance, doesn't AARP have a caution for Florida seniors to avoid scams that are out there around the process to be vaccinated?
Absolutely, thank you for raising that, Melissa, because, look, we all know we're Floridians, and one of the things that apparently Florida is really good at is spawning frauds. And so in this case, we know that as soon as there's something that people are desperate for out there, that there are going to be fraudsters who are going to try to prey on people's desperation in order to get money or get their personal information so that they can wreak havoc with their personal finances. So immediately after the vaccine started to roll out to the public beyond the long-term care systems, to those 65 and over, we heard reports through county health departments that there were fraudulent vaccine registration sites being set up. And we're glad to hear that the Florida legislature in its first committee week is already working on legislation to try to add teeth to the laws that these folks are breaking so that we can punish and hopefully deter those who think it would be a great idea to try to set up a fraudulent vaccine registration site. And we recognize that this is going to continue in other ways. It is, frankly, just a matter of time based on past experience before we start to hear reports of people who are getting phone calls from people unsolicited offering the vaccine, perhaps even door-to-door folks coming to offer the vaccine when they are not interested in actually helping prevent COVID-19 among the recipients. They just want your bank account number, your credit card number, or your Social Security number. And so, yes, I hope your listeners will make sure that they and the people that they love are paying attention to the potential fraud that is already becoming a reality.
Jeff, stick with us. Jeff Johnson is the director of AARP in Florida, taking your phone calls at 305-995-1800, 305-995-1800, or tweets at Florida Roundup. Ross sends us this note. No, not Ross. Sorry. It's DJ sends us this note. I'm a non-essential worker in a risk group. I'm in no rush for the vaccine. I can keep isolated and working from home, but I'm frustrated that essential workers have not even begun to receive it. Failing to protect people like grocery store workers continues to endanger everyone else. Let's go to Roxanne in Orlando, who's been patient. Roxanne, thanks for calling in. You're on the radio.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just totally echo and agree with the people that are saying that distribution is the problem. So I'm a 69-year-old single woman. I don't even see that I would want to stand in line and hope to get a spot or an appointment and then have it not be there. What happened with the distribution to Publix in other counties, and does Orange County have that coming up?
Yeah, Jeff, what are you hearing about the use of Publix as a distribution point and whether or not that's going to expand to other grocery stores or other pharmacies that serve other neighborhoods and communities?
You know, it's a really common concern and question, and I think that we're still seeing what's happening. So there are our focus, and I think most people's focus, has been on what the public health departments in each county are doing, and that seems to be the primary channel. The public's option is something that I think the state has rolled out, from what I can tell, primarily in counties that may not have as robust a public health system and may not have a central hospital that has the capacity of distributing the vaccine out as well. So far, I've seen mostly that the counties that the public's process, the public's pilot has rolled out in, have been kind of small to medium-sized counties. My suspicion is that as we move forward and as, again, the supply is there, we'll start to see that expand into other places. And what you would hope is that it wouldn't just be one chain of pharmacies, but it would be all the major chains of pharmacies. I know that there are a couple of national chains, CVS and Walgreens, that the federal government has used to help implement the vaccination of those who are in long-term care facilities. So my hope, again, is that as the state gets more supply of vaccines, you'll start to see those spread out. I don't believe it is in Orange County or in any of the major cities yet, but I do think it's on the way.
On the
but
way.
I did want to flag that other...
Jeff, if I could just get
quick?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Melissa.
Just lots of folks waiting to connect with you, beginning with Susan in Tallahassee. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you for taking my call. And I want to thank Mr. Johnson from the AARP for bringing up the other states have one uniform system, and this state does not. I'm a nurse up here in Tallahassee, Florida. My parents are in Manatee County, and initially they had Eventbrite, and now it's all a lottery down there now. And the problem with these seniors, I don't think our governor understood, is that they're seniors, and they're not computer-friendly. And so you have these seniors trying to figure out these computer things, and therefore they are more susceptible to fraud because they're not used to doing that. And every county's different, and it's not one unified thing. And I used to work for the health department up here, and also which is through the Department of Health, and also ACA. And, you know, we've had Republican governors, and especially Scott has totally taken away a lot of employees from cut, and so our health departments have been limited and are more limited. So this is a big undertaking, and if there was one unified thing, doing it to the public, doing it to the CVS on top of the health department. I also want to do a shout out for FAMU up here, who does the COVID testing. I mean, they help people do the curative things while they're waiting in line.
While they're waiting.
So you may have a senior.
I hear your point, Susan, and I want to thank you for that.
Right.
For that. That's Susan in Tallahassee calling into the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. So Jeff Johnson of AARP Florida, let's put it to you. The previous administration, as she noted, did hollow out the funding for county health departments around the state, the Rick Scott administration, that we don't see a uniform approach. We're seeing sort of a patchwork approach to the vaccine rollout. Could Florida have approached this in a more comprehensive way? And what about the budget cuts that have affected this whole public health challenge?
You know, I think those are great questions. And I think that the fact is that because of the diversity of the state, even a more centralized approach, and I think it's fair to say that there might be less chaos if people could go to a single site to sign up for appointments anywhere in the state, or if people could register as, let's say, people who qualify based on the current criteria and are interested in the vaccine, and then, you know, be contacted when the vaccine is available in their community, that sort of coordination across the state is really valuable. I don't want to undermine, though, that the fact that because our state is so diverse in cities and rural and different regions, that the use of county health departments who know their community best does make a lot of sense. there's clearly an opportunity for us to centralize things in order to make them easier. Again, with some hope that the state is moving in that direction based on comments that the director of emergency management made to the Florida legislature yesterday.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more that could be done.
Jeff,
okay.
We just have a couple minutes left here. I want to get one more tweet because I think it's another important issue. Jay Michael sent us this tweet. I know seniors who are confined to their homes and so do not have access to either COVID testing or COVID vaccine. We must help them. How? Particularly for seniors who may not have access to a vehicle. How to help?
Huge, huge issue. And it is one that will be leaning on the state to work through the aging services network that may be already supplying folks like that with things like Meals on Wheels and flu vaccinations. Again, you got to have supply in order for that to happen. There's one more channel, though, that I think your listeners really need to be aware of if they're not already, and that is that hospitals are, in many parts of the state, using the physicians, the practices that are affiliated with their hospital to get shots out to people. We've heard from people across the state who have been contacted by their primary care provider to say, we're getting the vaccine, and I know folks who have been vaccinated through that channel. So if you're frustrated by the county system, again, it's not ideal that you've got to go shop through different systems, but it's also worth reaching out to your primary care provider just to see if they are in line to be able to get vaccines at some point. If not now, then soon.
That is Jeff Johnson with AARP in Florida. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us and walking us through the perspective of AARP that you have here in Florida and vaccines.
Thank you. I really appreciate hearing from folks what their experiences are, too.
And it has just been harrowing for so many folks out there, and patience is wearing thin. We appreciate everyone who's engaged with our subject matter experts on the show. We'll keep bringing you the information on this as soon as we get it here on the Florida Roundup. And after the break, the politics of impeachment in Florida, here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Don't go away.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, this week the FBI held a conference call with law enforcement agencies across the state. The topic was the potential for right-wing protests at the state capitol in Tallahassee and other places as President Trump leaves office next week. Now, there are no specific threats, according to the feds, no specific threats to the state capitol in Tallahassee, but all of this comes a week after the deadly insurrection at the U.S. Capitol building in Washington and this week's House impeachment of President Trump.
No Florida Republican supported the article of impeachment, and several members of the state's congressional delegation voted against accepting some of the Electoral College votes. We want to hear from you on this. What do you think of how Florida representatives voted over the past 2 weeks on the Electoral College vote certification and the article of impeachment? What role do Florida Republicans play as President Trump lies about winning the election. 305-995-1800, 305-995-1800, at Florida Roundup is our Twitter handle. First, WFSU Public Media News Director Lynn Hatter is in Tallahassee, where preparations are underway should the state see a repeat of what happened last week in Washington, D.C.
Most law enforcement agencies here say they're prepared to respond if anything turns violent Sunday. In Tallahassee, the lead agencies are the Leon County Sheriff's Office, the Tallahassee Police Department, and Capitol Police. Mayor John Daley said in a tweet Wednesday there have been no specific threats against Tallahassee, and TPD Chief Lawrence Revel noted the same thing during a city commission retreat on the same day. Governor Ron DeSantis said earlier this week that local law enforcement is ready should violence happen, but so far there have been no requests for any permits for the weekend. Still, a permit is not required to protest at Florida's Capitol. Senate President Wilton Simpson has told staff to work remotely for the next few days. Most state lawmakers have already returned to their home districts, and they are not slated to come back to Tallahassee until January 25th. I'm Lynn Hatter.
Mike Lafferty is opinion editor with the Orlando Sentinel. He's on the line now with his thoughts on the riots, the impeachment vote, and the fallout in Florida. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you all?
I'm great, thanks. Good to have you on the show. So 10 Republicans in the U.S. House supported impeachment, none from Florida. Vern Buchanan was among just two Republicans from the Florida delegation who voted to certify the Electoral College vote, but he voted no on impeachment. He called it divisive and misguided. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, Michael Waltz also voted to certify, but also voted against impeachment. You know, we published an editorial a couple of days ago that, you know, tried to take a look at why or who specifically in Florida's Republican leadership is refusing to acknowledge that Joe Biden is the president-elect or that Donald Trump has continued to lie about a stolen election. And, you know, the conclusion is basically no one in Republican leadership has stood up to say these things that are facts. And, you know, the insurrectionists who stormed the Capitol a week ago, you know, some of them were motivated by this grievance that the election was stolen. And so, you know, we felt it was a responsibility of Republican leadership for quite a long time now to, if not embrace Joe Biden, at least acknowledge the facts of his election, and they've largely refused to do so. Maybe with the exception of Marco Rubio, the rest have either been silent or, like Matt Gaetz or Anthony Sabatini, have just continued to fuel this these falsehoods that the election was stolen. So then, you know, on January 6th, we in the certification vote, we saw where the Republican House delegation stood on it, and then a few days later, we saw where they stood on trying to hold Donald Trump responsible for playing any role in what happened, and they refused to.
They're facing blowback from major donors. Large corporations now say they're cutting off money to Republicans who voted against certifying Joe Biden's victory. Let's talk about how that affects Senator Rubio's colleague in the Senate, Senator Rick Scott, former governor of Florida. He's become a lightning rod for criticism, the only member of Senate leadership to vote against certification. Scott is now in charge of a committee raising money to elect more Republicans to the Senate. What type of headwinds do you think this will create for Rick Scott?
You know, it's really hard to say. Scott was one of seven senators who voted against certification of the results in Pennsylvania. He did not vote against certification in Arizona, which was the first challenge. But, yeah, I mean, it was a pretty remarkable sequence of companies that came out and said they are not going to well, there were several variations of it. You know, some said, we're not going to contribute any money to any of the members of Congress who voted not to certify the results in Arizona, Pennsylvania, and some others. I guess a few have said we're not going to contribute to Republicans, and some have just said we're just rethinking our contributions altogether. So Rick Scott is in charge of the Republicans' efforts to get senators elected in 2 years. And, there's some belief that he's damaged goods now. How does he, as one of the people, only the seven senators who voted against accepting the results in Pennsylvania, how does he now go about raising money when these companies are, in fact, reacting directly to what he did?
To what he did. Let me just jump in and say that you're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Mike, let's turn our attention to the governor. He says that he and other Republicans around Florida have said that the real outrage after the riots is that the president has been banned from social media, that conservatives, they say, are being silenced from social media platforms. The governor says this is even a top legislative priority for him as lawmakers go into a spring legislative session. What about that?
Well, one reading of what he said was it was a top priority. Another reading was him saying it was the top priority, which, you know, people who are worried, you've just had a lot of callers on who are worried about getting vaccinated. There are people worried about the state of the economy, about the tourism industry. There are other people worried about the rise of extremism around the nation and here in Florida. And the unemployment system, by the way, is still broken. So, you know, it's kind of remarkable to hear the governor of the state of Florida say that some of these actions that were taken against Governor DeSantis and that ended up, you know, affecting an entire platform, Parler, is even a top priority in Florida. It's kind of hard to fathom how that really can be the case. But, you know, this is what a lot of Republicans have turned to talking about in recent days, rather than the insurrection at the state capitol, the U.S. Capitol, where five people were killed. They're talking about what big tech is doing. And, Randy Fine has suggested, a state representative from Brevard County, has suggested that states should stop doing business altogether with the companies that had been involved in deplatforming the president. So, you know, I think it's safe to say that there are some serious questions about their priorities right now.
Mike, let's get a couple of listener comments in on Twitter. Speaking of the social media platform, Michelle sends us this note. Our elected officials need to be aware that there's a difference between supporting your candidate and lying. The blatant lies they have been repeating have led to this violence. There needs to be accountability, Michelle writes. Rich sends us this tweet. I will not be voting for any incumbent Republican candidate in the next primary or general election. Caller Linda in Miramar. Linda, I'll let you know our time is very tight. Please make your point quickly so we can hear it.
Yes, I got to say I agree with the tweet that Michelle made. Absolutely. I don't know about not supporting incumbent Republicans. I guess it depends on that person and their character. But yes, you have to, regardless of what side of the line you're on in terms of political party, you have to stand for responsibility and accountability. And to go against those things would, you know, I think that appalls most of America.
Yeah. I appreciate the phone call from Miramar, and thank you for your brevity, too. Helped us hear it.
And, Mike, with the minute we have left, how do you see the politics of all of this affecting the spring legislative session?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really seen anything yet. I don't work in Tallahassee or cover Tallahassee in the way that some reporters do. But I haven't seen really any indications yet that this is going to affect their agenda at all. You know, a month ago, gosh, time really has taken on some strange characteristics these days. But recently,
and we're out of time. Yeah. I hate to cut you off because I'm really enjoying your thoughts. Mike Lafferty, opinion editor of the Orlando Sentinel. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And that is our show. Wish we could keep going here on the Florida Roundup, produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville, WLRN Public Media in Miami, with Denise Royal and Heather Schatz, our producers.
You can keep the conversation going on Twitter at Florida Roundup. Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, Director of Radio Operations, and Technical Supervisor is Peter Meritz. Engineering help from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Josh Torres. Richard Ives answers the phones. Theme music from Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at AaronLibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Have a great 3-day weekend. We'll be back next Friday.